Appreciate those good songs. One quick note. Devotional day planners for 2016 are available in the foyer. If you've used these before, you will enjoy them, and you might want to grab one as you leave today. When they're gone, they are really gone. And this is sort of a limited supply. And I think there's a request that if you can pop a Tunia donation in. Is there a box there, Nicole, or something? Or there will be. Look for just a place to drop a Tunie or whatever you want for your devotional day planner. And those are from the Bible League. Always much appreciated. We continue in the Ten Commandments. Almost done, of course. It's, I don't know how to calculate this, but the statistical estimate is that there's something like, in New York City, there are 11 million cats and 9 million dogs and probably 4 million people. And pets are a big deal in New York City, but being the city as it is, just makes, you know, mostly steel and concrete. When your pet passes away, what do? You can't always just bury him, her, in the backyard. So the city of New York offers a service. They'll take care of your pet for you. It's about $75, and they'll take care of your pet. And one lady came up with a bright idea. She says, well, I think I can do better than that. I can offer a service for people that I think will encourage them. So she puts it might save them money as well. And so she put a classified ad in the paper saying that she would provide the service for just $25. And I will come to your house and I will pick up your deceased pet. One third of what the city charged. So just a sort of a brilliant plan. She would go on her way to the Salvation Army and pick up a $5 suitcase. Not too shabby, but still looking pretty good. And she would go visit the family, pick up the deceased pet and put it in the suitcase, and then hop on the subway and start making her way home. Okay? But while she's on the subway, she would put the suitcase down and pretend like she's not watching it. And invariably, on the subway in New York City, someone would steal the suitcase. And home they go. With the suitcase, with the pet. Can you imagine? Not only did she save grieving pet owners, but she made a net profit of about $20 as well. Already had the bus pass. And she might just have rehabilitated a pet thief or a thief in the process somehow along there as well. Imagine getting that puppy home. I mean, it's just, you know, literally. Interesting. Today's thieves, a little bit different. Of course, the cover of a leading national magazine had a picture of a typical teenage boy. This is just a few years ago now, wearing a pair of headphones, looking like any one of a thousand different teenage boys. He's just a guy on the cover with his headphones. And the caption said, "Wanted." And the smaller caption, the smaller letter says, "Got a digital pirate in your house? Got a lawyer?" was what it read. That was a major national newspaper, or Microprint magazine, ran that several years ago now, and now it's just even escalated even more. You might be aware that the entertainment industry has been cracking down on the extremely popular practice that's been going on for years now. Goes by a seemingly innocent name. It's called file sharing. Ever heard of file sharing? It sounds so good. It's sharing. And why not? It's said that Canada, this is a very recent stat, has the highest percentage of its population sharing files than any other country in the world. We're king of file sharing. All kinds of files, but music included there as well. Now, sharing, as I said, it's a good thing. You know, I have two cookies and you can have one. It's sharing. Who would be opposed to sharing? But file sharing looks more like this. I get a music CD or maybe even a DVD, something that is given to me or is a commercially produced. It's content. I put that content on my computer's hard drive, and then with the right software, I can share it over the internet or with someone else on a flash drive. And here, I'm going to share this with you, and it's a file transfer, is what it is. sometimes they call that peer-to-peer sharing and whatnot, and there's all kinds of sites, and there's been all sorts of controversy over the years, and Canada is just in the thick of it as well. There are other questions, of course, and excuses. We're talking about stealing today. The Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal. No stealing, no taking. Is it stealing when it's from a company or the government and not from a specific person? This is generally the area of stealing. Is it stealing if they will never notice it's gone or they'll never miss it? They've got so much. Is that stealing? Is it stealing if it's not fair that I don't have what other people have and I never will have it? Is that stealing? Or is it stealing if I mean to give it back before they even notice it's gone or need it? I'm just borrowing it. It'll be back in a flash. Is that stealing? People ask, and they create a lot of excuses often because their conscience is bothering them. I think we are pre-programmed to understand stealing. If our conscience is functional, we get it. And that's why you look for the loopholes. Because otherwise we believe that regulation and law is often arbitrary and that we can negotiate everything. A lot of people think they can negotiate with God and they can negotiate with law and regulation. Whereas in Fletcher's famous book, Situation Ethics, which we had to study in school, everything depends. It's situational. Ethics are fluid. Well, here's our Eighth Commandment. Exodus 20:15, yeah, don't even really need to open your Bible, but you can look there and get it in context. You shall not steal. No stealing. Simply put, in the way the Hebrew language outlines it in the Old Testament, no stealing is mentioned 3 times. In the New Testament, 5 times. No stealing. Avoid that. A simple definition. Well, we'll look at that. Here's some synonyms first. You shall not steal, or divert, or abduct, or embezzle, or keep, or kidnap. You shall not loot, pilfer, plunder, ransack, remove, strip, swipe, or take. You shall not appropriate, burglarize, cheat, defraud, heist, pillage, pinch, pirate, plagiarize, poach, rifle, sack, or shoplift. You shall not swindle, make off with, rip off, spirit away, take possession of, or walk off with. Stealing's often learned young, and it can quickly become habitual. You start at this, and you move up, and you try that, and stealing in one area typically leads to another. The definition is simple, but just to be clear, this is it. To take another person's property without their permission or without legal right. To take another person's property without their permission or without legal rights to that property. Stealing. Well, it also means to move quietly, quickly, and surreptitiously. That's referring to stealing second base, like Josh Donaldson or Kevin Pillar. That's different. That's a different stealing. That's the only other definition there is. Otherwise, it's just to take, to acquire something that is another person's property. So we'll look at a couple of points here that sort of unpacks it for us, because the command is so simple, so straightforward, it can seem too simple, but it's not. It's not so simple. The ethics of ownership. Are there such things as property rights? Is that reinforced in Scripture even? We know it is in our culture. And the answer is basically yes. There are such things as property rights. Rights to personal property. And somebody worked for something and you didn't. It's not yours. And no, shoplifting is not work. Professional thief is an oxymoron. Yes, it might seem like work, but it's not. And in the Bible, this commandment was to reinforce personal property rights. You have the right to personal property. Ownership is valid. And in their day, all manner of items, livestock and valuables and stores and even people were considered possessions. You could own them. It was introduced, rightly or wrongly, people in there. It was valid. The patriarch had the oversight and was responsible to provide through legal acquisition and ownership for all of those in his household. He had to take care of them. He was responsible to do that, and ownership was a part of that, obviously, as well. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 5, we could read this story. Ananias and Sapphira were both caught. Well, we could talk about it next week. Lying to the Holy Spirit. They had something they wanted to sell. They owned it, but they held, it was rightfully theirs, but they held a portion of it back and then they gave the rest. So that's not the problem. The problem was they lied about it and they were caught in the lie. They and others like them in that context in Acts 5 were simply selling something they owned that could be converted into cash to meet community needs. So we're going to convert to cash, and they sold some land in their setting. So there was still private ownership, and private ownership remained. You could own things, and you could do what you wanted with them, and they were there to do with as you wish, but then they lied about it. They were caught in it. They were stewards. They were managers of it, but they were caught in the lie. Generally, we teach people to hold things loosely, be stewards of it, have a spirit of generosity. There is a spiritual gift called giving in Romans chapter 12, and some people have that gift, and they're just always giving. Here at Alta Vista, you do it well. The DMT project this last year, showed that. We had the yard sale, remember, the bake sale, the luncheon, the silent auction. We were talking about this last night. People gave tremendously. They wanted to give, even to something like the yard sale. Stay tuned for that in 2017. Could be back, Lord willing. And also, Lord willing, we'll be partnering with you from Cornwall to do it together. As well, another DMT trip. Ethics of ownership. It's valid. It's legitimate, scripturally. There's also the economics of copyright as well. A little bit of a primer here. Something belongs to someone. Usually, everything belongs to someone. You won't find things that belong to no one unless it's garbage on the side of the road. Austin Klein wrote this book. This is fairly famous on the internet. Steal Like an Artist. You might be familiar with those concepts. He explores the whole ethical malaise that is this musical originality in production, because they're always borrowing from each other. And, hey, I think you stole that song from me back in 1968, and now you're making money off it today. And it's just a whole new world. But if we're talking about stealing in Ottawa, in Ontario, in Canada, this is our world. This is what we're starting to talk about. Issues about copyright as one example. It's well known that in the classical music era, 200 years ago, composers borrowed ideas and phrases and tunes and motifs from each other all the time, and they seemed to be okay with it. Well, they had no choice. They had no copyright back then. But they were always borrowing from each other. Well, this artist sounds like that artist, who sounds like that, who sounds like that. And they did that regularly, and no surprise, it continues today. In Canada, we do have constantly evolving copyright laws. Music lovers, pay attention. There are actually four sections in the intellectual property law, or what is commonly called copyright law, which we'll focus on just for a second here, because this is very applicable to us. It's called copyright, patents, trademarks, and industrial designs. You've probably heard of the first two, maybe the first three there. You might not be familiar with the last one. Copyright is for all creations, literary or musical or artistic or dramatic. All of those things, including computer programs and electronic files. That is copyright. That's the C in the circle. Bracket C bracket on your computer and you get a copyright sign. That's copyright. It's all owned. Patents. Are you familiar with a patent? Anyone have a patent on anything? Yeah, you might. I was talking to another man a couple of weeks ago. He owns a patent on something. He owns a few patents dealing with spacecraft, actually. They are for new inventions as well as improvements to existing devices, basically. Trademarks are for one or more combinations of words that distinguish an organization or a business, and then industrial design is for protecting, those are design elements, very specific of integrated circuits, topographies, and things like that. They're very unique and specific. But music is a common copyright example. It constitutes owned property. Songs belong 99.9% of the time to somebody. They are owned. The music we sung this morning was owned. Do you realize that? And we had permission to project it on the screen there, and all the copyright information was down in the bottom left-hand corner. We have to do that to be legal, because it's owned by somebody. When you go to the store, you can buy a copy of it with very limited and specific copying rights. It was back in the mid-1980s that this really started to sweep through churches because of the advent of really good photocopiers and cassette duplicators. You could duplicate stuff and you can make really good fast copies of choral sheet music, which got a lot of people in trouble really fast with copyright law. People went to jail from churches. They were violating copyright. Didn't know that they were doing that. ABBC, as I said, has a CCLI, Christian Copyright Licensing Inc. We have a license that allows us to project words legally. I mean, nowadays, digital copying has just changed everything, the technology there. But we want to be compliant with Canadian law, and we want to see the royalties are paid to artists to whom they are due. It's about the artists getting their due because it's their music. It belongs to them. I also once challenged a Christian piano teacher who was using the Peanuts, that's the Charlie Brown name, and characters for their piano lesson business. It was called Peanuts Piano Lessons. All the characters, all the imagery, all the name. I said, that's a trademark violation. You're not allowed to do that, to make money off it. Somebody owns all that stuff. Belongs to someone. So basically, with music copyright, personal use copies, here we go, are permitted. You need to know this. We might as well tell you here. Years ago, it was vinyl to cassette. Now it's your CD to your iPod or your MP3s on your player, something like that. It is legal for you. If you bought the CD or you received it as a gift, you can make a copy of it. Or you can just buy it on iTunes. But you paid for it and you download it. It's an MP3. Beyond that, the law actually gets very complex if you start reading about it, because it involves fixed versus removable storage in your devices. And of course, all of this information I just copied from the internet. But they don't mind me doing this and telling you. So theft. Again, it's a simple command. It seems so simple, but what are the implications and the applications for us? What, how, when, where, and why? Stealing is everywhere. I mean, it surrounds us. Heist, like stealing movies, burglar movies are so popular and very entertaining, right? Do you ever watch heist movies? Especially when someone is stealing from the rich. Don't steal from the poor, steal from the rich. Ocean's 11, 12, 13, Robin Hood, The Italian Job. Even in Disney's Aladdin, he stole food for Princess Jasmine. It's like, well, she was hungry. It's okay. And everyone smiles. It's all good. It's everywhere. Interesting, on the TV there, I saw this last week. It's called The Monkey Thieves. Have you seen The Monkey Thieves? A weird show. Love nature. Personally, I don't believe that animals, monkeys, can commit a moral offense such as stealing, as they have no concept of property or ownership. It's just there, and they're hungry, and I'm taking it. And animals will take for food or for lodging. They take for dominance and procreation. We humans are made in the image of God, and it's quite different for us. We know, we understand ownership and possession and acquisition. So no more excuses. Like, these are all the ones we've heard. Oh, I'm not really hurting anyone. He deserves it. I haven't really taken anything. Very popular, especially with electronic downloads. I don't think it's a thing, but it is a thing. Well, I did it for a good reason. Everyone else is doing it. Well, I'll pay for it, or I'll return it eventually. Or, I work here, I've earned it. It's just part of my pay. Or, it's not that much. Or, I just couldn't help myself. Where do we see theft in modern culture today? As I mentioned, all manner of pirated electronic media, That is huge. But other than that, what's big nowadays? Identity theft. Personal information? Never had your identity stolen or part of your identity or something like that? Scary. Here at Alta Vista, we are actually, just so you know, we are federally mandated under an act called PIPEDA to safeguard any information you give us about your person. PIPEDA, Personal Information Protection and Electronic Documents Act. We have to do that legally. It's a federal statute. There's employee theft. I mean, they've been putting cameras in back rooms for years now to watch the employees, let alone the storefront. There are copper thieves. That's big. There are gas station drive-away thieves. They have to catch them all the time. That's why they have the cameras out there watching you. There are thieves taking donation boxes from Tim Hortons. There are people stealing things from hotel rooms. Well, that's old. Gold is really hot nowadays. People will break into your house, right, Connie, and steal your gold. Because they can fence gold. They can sell it. No questions asked. Bring us your gold. I'll give you cash. Hide your gold. Retail stores. Nothing like good old shoplifting, right, Patrick? He's an electronics or a security officer. Small electronics, phones. Kids get sworn by gangs. They want your phone. They want your electronics and your shoes. So popular. It's there. Then there's more serious forms, I guess. Human trafficking and all that. It's theft. Organs, tissue, things like that. Much more complicated. And there's more than that, of course. According to Stats Canada, when surveying all the criminal code violations in Canada in 2014, theft alone, and this is a specific category, it's called theft under $5,000. Theft under $5,000 accounts for, are you ready? 25%. That's one quarter of all the crime in Canada. All crimes. Every type and stripe, anything in the criminal code, 25% of it is just theft under $5,000. What they sometimes call petty theft. That would grow to almost one-third if you added auto theft, robbery, and theft over $5,000. That's a third of all crime in Canada coming out of just one little command. The Eighth Commandment accounts for basically a third of all the crime in Canada. That's far greater than drug offenses, sexual offenses, and abuse crimes all combined. Stealing. Just stealing. And of course, as someone mentioned to me, these statistics reflect only those who have been caught. And it's been reported and it's there. Well, the remedy, here's a verse for us as we wrap up. Ephesians 4:28. Scripture has a remedy. Let the thief, it's on the screen, no longer steal, but let him, let her, labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Work, interesting. You see the connection there? You want to teach and transfer respect for property. Number one, teach someone a work ethic. Teach them how to work. Teach them the meaning and the value of work. You work for things. You don't steal them. You work for them. And secondly, teach the value and preciousness of others, of other people. Both will combat greed, and that's the heart behind theft. Teach them the value of working and earning. Let them experience work and a good paycheck and then take it away from them. Have somebody steal it. Hey, that's mine. Right. It was yours. You got it. That's exactly right. And then you teach the preciousness and value, that's the basis of love, of others. That's an others orientation. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a positive command in Matthew 22. Teach honor and integrity. That comes out of Ephesians 4:28. I would pray, I always trust that the Christian community, the body of Christ, demonstrates the basic principles of the honor system. We kind of got away from the honor system. You were doing that with your Halloween candy last night. Bowl out front of the house. Just take one. Honor system. Can you be trusted? Can you really, really be trusted? Would you do the right thing and pay for the rhubarb at the honor system roadside stand if you knew no one was looking and no one would ever know? Would you leave your $5? Most people need accountability to do the right thing. All right, so be it. We need accountability. God knows and will judge everything. He knows. Everything will be brought into account. But bonus points if you can function from a belief in virtue and just the love of virtue. I'll do it because it's the right thing. And I'm going to listen to my conscience, and if it's bothering me, I'll stop. That's what we call righteousness. And that's actually 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's the righteousness of Christ imputed or poured into us that gives us this fresh new conscience. It's the righteousness of God in us. And then my last thought here is just to tell it like it is. Christian people, you can show integrity just by maybe calling out you see who could be doing better. Calling out people who you see and you know when you think you see stealing. Don't be afraid to do that. Show a little boldness. Speak the truth in love, carefully, confidently. But don't be afraid to appeal to their conscience. I mean, somebody's got to do that. We can do that in the body of Christ. Hey, do you think that might be stealing? Just try it. Just challenge one another. Not said with self-righteousness, but we are to provoke one another towards what? Love and good deeds. And we're to spur one another on towards that. And if we don't challenge one another, who do you think will do that? Well, in the ancient world, as we can see in Exodus 20, stealing was serious. I mean, it made it into the Ten Commandments. There it is. And this command was given to guard the fellowship of the covenant community. In their days, I mean, food and supplies and slaves and everything, you know, were they to be stolen in a peasant and agrarian society, it could be disastrous. You could die because you lost your stuff. But in our modern society, I'll just say North America, Canada, U.S., whatever, it's a whole lot different now. I want what you have. I like it. I think I want that. I don't have it. I want what you have. It doesn't matter that I haven't worked for it or that it doesn't belong to me. People understand ownership. That's not the problem. I just believe I can take it. I can make it mine, so here I go. I'm going to take what you have. I want it. There's even a website full of all sorts of interesting creative gadgets just in time for Christmas. It's called I Want That. I want that. Greed and consumption, well, you know this very well. They can just rage like a wildfire, totally out of control. Easy money. It's I want, disconnected from work. I want it and I don't have to work for it and buy it myself. The truth is, you know this, work equals wages. And God knew that we would need this commandment in a huge way, right here in the early part of the 21st century. Work equals wages. You don't work, you don't wage. You don't buy, you don't acquire. And this is going to be tied into next week, and it's our last two, lying and coveting. It all comes home to roost, really, in these last three. And this is for all of us in the body of Christ, and to be a conscience and to be challenging one another in love, not with self-righteousness, but really, to look at our own hearts first. We point all the fingers inwards before we dare look at anyone else. Am I consistent in all these things that I've talked about, sort of in concept, appreciating the rights of others and the things we acquire? Because we live in an acquisition age, don't we? Thank you, Father, for the clarity of the Word. But oh, how we need to study it and work it and unpack it to find the implications for us here in our age. But here they are. When we honor you in obedience to Scripture and to the Word, you're glorified and you bring blessing to your people. You are ready to provide and to bring us all things we need and even some we just delight in. Understanding the ethics of ownership and acquisition, but then all things to be used for your honor and glory. This is required to see our God glorified. We thank you. May the Spirit of God speak to hearts and niggle away at our consciences, perhaps through the afternoon, something we need to address that could be right there in our own home or maybe even right in our own pocket. These are the issues you want us to pay attention to as an ethical family, a fellowship, a covenant community of God here in this place. We pray in Jesus' name.